Jerseys of Hope is a nonprofit committed to inspiring a sense of community and well-being in hospitals through the donation of athletic jerseys to be worn by patients rooting for their favorite team. In the past 7 years, Jerseys of Hope has given out over 2,000 jerseys to lift the spirits of hospital patients. They have impacted the needy in 4 countries and 11 states. Please visit jerseysofhope.org to learn more. We're so honored to partner with Jerseys of Hope and be a small part of the large impact they make.
Let my tree bear good fruit so I can be used by you.
Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. This is Caitlin. Each episode, my Uncle Aaron interviews guests that are living their lives unscripted. The song you are hearing is the music from our dear friends, Tori and Shauna. You can find their music wherever you stream your favorite songs. For now, from his studio, here's my Uncle Aaron.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my Jerseys of Hope studios in Hilliard, Ohio. I'll say Hilliard today because we're talking to my good friend, Pastor. I feel like I should call you Pastor Mark or Mark. I don't know. But Mark, how are you? Can you introduce yourself?
Pastor, yeah, I can introduce myself. Pastor is a little too fancy, but yeah, I'm Mark Artrip. I'm the lead pastor of Movement Church and a resident of Hilliard here, but originally a resident of Wayne County, Ohio. So I always tell everyone I'm from a cornfield and ended up down here in Columbus. So I've been married to next month. It'll be been married to Kristen for 20 years, and we have 4 kids here. We've been in Hilliard for 12 years, and I'm not a very exciting guy, so I'll stop there. That's probably all that needs said.
Actually, you are a very exciting guy. That's why I wanted to have you on, because I'm rocking. Do you see that hat today? Did you see that hat?
I see it.
I'm rocking the hat today. So my daughter, just last weekend, I was actually at Indiana Wesleyan. She had a track meet, but my daughter runs for Grace. And she said, "Hey, do you know Mark?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely do." And she's like, "Movement Church? I want to visit there when I come home." I said, "Okay." And she said, "He spoke at Grace." And I was like, "Well, that's awesome." So right away, I had to reach out to you. So you are a Grace alum. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in a Grace church and ended up at Grace College. Me and my wife went there and then went on to the seminary. And so I love that. Love that place. Love that family. You know how it is when you're in college. I have some memories that I hope people don't remember of me as a as an 18 to 22 year old there. But you know, I love that place. And yeah, it was an honor. I get to go out every couple of years and speak in chapel or you know be adjunct faculty for a class or something. And yeah, I always love that. It was a good time.
So how did you find your way to Grace? Just out of curiosity.
So I grew up in what historically was called the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches, kind of the family of churches that goes with Grace College. Now they've changed their name to the Charis Fellowship just worldwide to kind of match up. But I just kind of always knew of Grace, you know, like it was your little and the older kids in my church that I wanted to be like were going there. You know, there was a guy in my church I really looked up to. Went there and played on I was like in third grade. They won like the NAIA national championship in basketball. And I was just a kid that, you know, loved basketball. And I was like, I want to go there and I want to be like him. And, you know, that's one thing when you're little. But then eventually I got older, went on a ministry training trip, which is actually where I met my wife and knew I wanted to go into vocational ministry. And it just kind of made sense where it's like, all right, here's the family you've been involved in. Here's the place that trains pastors and vocational ministry workers for that family. And so it just kind of made sense, ended up there. My brothers went there. So it was just kind of a family thing.
Well, I will be up there next weekend because mine's graduating from Grace and she's actually going to stay and get her master's at Grace. So a lot of love for the Grace College from our family. So
they've got some good things
and dollars.
Going on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It turns out college isn't free and they don't tell you that out of the gate. But I honestly I've been really impressed with that place. They've got a new president, Dr. Drew Flam, and I've been really, really impressed with the things they've got going and what they're building. They've got a good thing.
Well, and I don't want to go too off track, but I'm thankful that my oldest went to Mount Vernon Nazarene. Shout out Mount Vernon because that's my alma mater as well. You know, my middle is at Grace and my youngest is at Liberty. And I just saw this morning where Liberty, while a lot of campuses right now are doing a lot of protests that, you know, it's just where we are in the world. We won't get political, but Liberty was having a praise worship and Bible reading. on their campus, and it was just awesome. And so I'm very, very thankful that my children are where they are. That's not a bad thing if your children are not at those places. I'm just glad that my three are where they are, and I've just seen so much growth in their life. So shout out Grace, because I'm very thankful that Emma is where she is. Okay. Did you win an intramural championship at Grace?
You know what's funny? I won a couple of them. The ones we care about, every guy cares about soccer and basketball. Seemed to be what, you know, we'd show up, we'd get the whole dorm there.
We do.
And I remember my first year, we like won volleyball and we're like, well, that's dumb. We didn't know why we were playing volleyball, you know? And then the next year I won volleyball and all of a sudden I'm like, am I building a volleyball legacy here on accident? And I think we won the volleyball championship like 3 out of my 4 years. We didn't even realize it till a few years later. And we're like, we don't even want to tell anybody. It was like embarrassing, you know? So I wasn't good at anything I wanted to be good at, but I'm a volleyball intramural icon in Indiana.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Well, I, as you know, I probably share that I am a former intramural champion, and I did win one in basketball. I think we won one in flag football. I don't know. However, you know, I still merch in my store that says former intramural champion because I'm that proud of it. So
yeah.
We need to add one in for Grace Red.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to get that.
All right. I'll get one added to the store with Grace Red or whatever. I'm colorblind. So I think it's red.
Yeah.
we'll do a little volleyball logo. It'll be fine.
Yeah. That'd be great.
All right. Let's talk about movement, because I have anybody that I have talked to, you and I had coffee one time. I don't know if you remember this. We had coffee one time and we talked church. We just talked church planning, church, a lot of things at one point. And I might have even been in a season of bitterness when we had that conversation. So if that's true, I'm sorry. But I've seen a lot with churches. But here's what I always tell anybody that always brings up your name. And your name does come up a lot because you have made a really big impact here in Hilliard. And whenever people ask me, I always tell them the same thing. Like, I'm so impressed. I'll let you tell the movement story, but just from an outsider perspective, the movement story to me is the fact that you guys stayed the course at the YMCA, and you can correct me any of this if it's wrong, but I always tell people, I'm so impressed how you all like didn't do the multi-church, let's go get big as fast as we can thing. And that's no disrespect to any other church. Please understand that. But you stayed true to what your vision, I believe, was. Mm-hmm. And again, please correct me if I'm wrong. But you stayed true to that. You stayed at the YMCA setting up chairs every Sunday. And anybody that's ever done a church plant knows how hard that is.
Yeah.
And now you get to celebrate a brand new building. And I want to celebrate that with you. So I'll let you tell the story or take it from there. But from an outsider perspective, understand that like I've always been so impressed with your leadership, your congregation, the people that come to your church, and the fact that you stayed the course, because, you know, it's tough. Church planning is tough. Yeah. Setting up chairs every Sunday morning, you know, it takes a lot of people that are really connected to the mission and the vision. And so I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I appreciate you saying those things. Those are humbling and you know, kind of the goal as you're getting started, you hope that people could say those things. So yeah, I met my wife on a kind of a missions trip in high school, and maybe it would have been weird, but if you would have asked 17-year-old Mark, you know, what's the plan? He would have said, I feel called to church planning. You know, we were on this trip and just visited a bunch of different ministry contacts and churches. And I grew up in a church that, gosh, it's over 100 years old. I love them dearly. My parents still go there. My brother leads worship, but it's, you know, through the years, it was a church with choir robes and a pipe organ. But they were good about just equipping and sending people. And when I found out that there were churches, I didn't know there were new churches. I thought every church was 100 years old. And so when I visited some of these churches, it's like, hey, there's new places where the gospel's needed, where communities are growing, where you can start new things. That just clicked for me, you know, and I don't know why, but I was like, man, I want to do that, you know, and I'd been thinking about ministry. And so specifically, I was like, I want to maybe kind of cut my teeth in student ministry, get ready and then do some church planning. And you know, people are always like, why would you want to do that? And I'm like, what? Someone told me one time, if you're dumb enough to think that's a good idea, you're probably called to it, you know? And so I was just like, man, this is what I want to do. And I, you know, so when, and I, after college and seminary, I was on staff at Grace Church up in Powell for 7 years, and they had been, you know, sending some churches. They planted a church called Marysville Grace. That's now planted a church in Bell Fountain and some other ones up that way. And they ended up sending one of our other pastors to plant a church called Encounter Church in Dublin. And then eventually it was just kind of my my time. I got to a place where I just felt like that was the next step. That's what God wanted. There's a verse in James that says, if you know what God wants you to do and don't do it, you're sinning. And so I don't think being a student pastor is a sin for anybody else. But for me, it was kind of like, man, I was comfortable. I could do that. It was good, but I needed to kind of step out in faith and trust God. And so we stepped away from a pretty big church, a church that cared for my family and, you know, took care of us and had a little money, and we moved down here under the leadership of Encounter Church, the church that had been planted out of ours, and, you know, started to gather a launch team. And we didn't want to just, you know, gather a bunch of Christians. We said our vision was to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. And so we wanted to reach people that didn't know Jesus and people that were far from Jesus and people that were dechurched. And so we started meeting, and, you know, there's no magical story where it's like, and the next day 1,000 people showed up, you know, nothing right. like that. Like we were meeting in a classroom with, I think it was like 26 people the first time, and, you know, my two kids. And then it was, you know, 28 people and 31. We had a couple small groups. We multiplied those and we tried to serve in the community. And eventually we launched a service at a dance studio venue out on 270. It was the only place that would let us meet in town. We visited all these places and we're praying about it, and they all told us no. And we're like, okay, I guess we'll meet there, you know? And so we met there for a year and we were doing our thing. And eventually we got connected with the Y, and they asked us to meet there. And that was a big blessing. They were a great partner. And so, yeah, we just started meeting and, you know, serving and, you know, telling people about Jesus and multiplying small groups. And I think something that was pretty formative for us early on, though, is I read the New Testament. You know, you see disciples of Jesus being multiplied, and you see, you know, communities being multiplied, and you see churches being multiplied. And so I didn't want to be a pastor who was really passionate about church planting when I wanted to do it and when I needed to fundraise money, and then to say, all right, we're good. You know, we wanted to be churches that multiply churches that, you know, churches that reproduce churches. And so a couple years in, we kind of doubled down on that. We had, you know, 210 people, and we brought in our first church planting resident, and we said, you know, hey, what we're seeing happen in Hilliard, we want to see happen in other places. We think it's healthy for us and healthy where they're going to take the gospel. And so we sent 48 people when we had 200 people, you know, on a launch team to Gahanna, which is probably the opposite of good for business, you know, probably foolish, but we sent some people over there, and, you know, and they kind of had to rebuild or reload, you know, maybe like a coach would have to do on an athletic team, and raise up leaders. And it was good. It creates a vacuum. You know, you send away enough seniors and those sophomores have to step up and learn to be leaders and learn to take things serious. And so we sent that team to Gahanna. They're doing awesome. So proud of them. They're at a couple services and just bought like an everything but Sunday building, they call it, there in downtown Gahanna. And then, you know, 3 years later, we brought in another resident and sent them about 30 people to plant Contrast Church in Grandview. And, you know, the whole while we never said that we didn't care about Hilliard. We wanted to be on mission, but we think, you know, our phrase was, we can care about here and there. And we think God cares about here and there, wherever there may be. And so, you know, as God was blessing our church and growing our church, and we were at a couple services, and we got to a place we knew we were going to outgrow the Y, and COVID was happening. And so we did a capital campaign and kind of started, you know, casting vision for a building. And we had the land out here across the road from Hilliard Bradley High School. We didn't talk about it much because we didn't want to, you know, we didn't want that to be our vision. Like, hey, we want a building. You know, we had a bigger vision than that. But eventually it was like, all right, this is what will give us a legacy presence. This is what will reach our community and even just house our family. You know, anybody that's ever gotten married and started having kids, you're like, oh, we can live in an apartment. Oh, we can live in a small house.
Yeah.
Oh, these kids are gigantic and they're eating all of our food. We need to get a bigger house, you know? And so we moved out to this building. It's been, you know, built for the last year and a half. We moved out here over Christmas and kind of started services in January, had a grand opening. And it's been really cool to see, like you said, that setup and tear down hustle can be exhausting.
Right.
And we believed in it, and we wanted to establish our DNA and not just be selfish. And so we wanted to be a sending church before we were, you know, doing things for ourselves. But I got to be honest, humanly, it is really nice to not set up chairs anymore. I'm sitting at the building now, and I just walk in and turn on a light switch, and life is good. And it's cool. You know, you look back and you see things. It's probably like college for a lot of people. you're grateful that God got you through those exams and got you a degree, but you're not signing up to go back to college. You know, if you said, "Hey, Mark, you want to go back and be portable?" I'd probably start crying. But I can look back and say, like, man, God was faithful and God's grown us. And so we're excited to be out here, excited to reach this part of the city. And, you know, we're excited just about what God's building, what God's doing. It's been an exciting couple months. And, you know, and there's more people than ever in those things and some growth. So we're just excited to help people find a family and, you know, help them know Jesus better.
What a shift from, I don't want to say the typical model. The typical model, I think, is you launch, you get your building, and then you start launching other churches. Y'all did that differently. If I understood everything, what you just said, you did that upside down. You started launching churches before you actually had an actual building. So let me ask you, I know in business, it's always better to be nimble than it is to be like it's the jet ski and the ocean liner, right? Like it's better to be a jet ski because then you can turn on a dime and you can change, you can shift. I imagine when you were in the Y, it was a jet ski mentality. You could launch and you could do and but then when you build a building, and not saying that this is, you know, the Carnival Cruise of churches. I have no, you know, I need to come visit it and see it. Yeah. And it wouldn't matter either way. But the point is, like, once you have an actual building that you can just turn the lights on, there's expenses, there's things that come with that as well. So it's like, careful what you wish for. Now that you're more of an ocean liner than a jet ski, have you found that that has changed anything? Or I think your answer is going to be that you guys are trusting God and that God's provided and will provide. That's probably, I don't know. I'll let you answer it, but that's my guess. But do you understand what I'm saying in terms of the jet ski and ocean liner?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're very, very correct. I mean, that's what we're seeing is, you know, the DNA or the feel of your church changes. And, you know, sometimes you want to think that's bad. It's been good and bad. You know, I'm one of the only people that's been around here from the beginning. And so for me, there's been some leadership growth there, you know, where like sometimes, you know, I used to be able to spend my days however I wanted. And now it's, you know, not however you wanted, but you're like, you're doing everything, you're making stuff happen. And now it's like, man, I've got a staff to lead and a staff to disciple. And I've got, you know, there's a lot more people listening to a Sunday message. And so you want to spend some more time on that. And you want to be on your game. And so I've found that kind of, if you're with something from the beginning and you see significant growth and multiplication in that, there's definitely a leadership curve there. And you have to, it feels like your job description changes about every semester or about every year. And so, I've got a different job description, you know. In some ways that's exciting. And in some ways, you know, it's probably like, you know, I think most dads have been through that where when you have one kid, you can still go out and eat wings with the fellas. When you start to have three, four kids, it's like, man, I don't have as many hobbies as I used to. And you love your family and you're grateful for your family. And it's just a different season, but we've seen, you know, we're an established church now. And so in some good ways, you know, when we started, they say a church will usually be on 10 years of both sides of a pastor's age. And so, you know, I'm 42, our church is, you know, 32 to 52 ish. And so when I was 31, you know, I'd have people come and visit our church and they're like, man, this is a college ministry. And I love, I want to lead a young church. I love young people, but we felt like we didn't represent the full body of Christ. And so it's good to get some gray hairs in here and some people that have been there, done that, and some empty nesters. And, you know, we really do have like a great spectrum now where we've got, you know, 50, 60 year olds and 20 year olds and people in college and people coming out of college. And so I am equally as excited, you know, for where God has our church now. And yeah, we're trying to live in the tension of that. You know, like you said, we don't want to be an ocean liner. We don't want to be a jet ski, but we're kind of like, all right, how do we find that sweet spot in the middle? That's like a really comfortable
pontoon.
Speedboat or something. Yeah, exactly. A pontoon. Yeah.
Up on Winona Lake, right?
Yeah.
All right. No, all right. And let me brag on you for a second because I, you know, you said that. So we had coffee because you had the freedom to have coffee before.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
now we're, you know, you've had to juggle schedule. We had to, you know, you made this available for me today in the midst of, and I sadly, you have a service that you have to actually go and I think be a part of or do. And so you're still doing, you know, you're still doing, no matter if it's a permanent building or the YMCA, you're still doing. And so thank you for always making time for me and you know, loving my family and caring about anything that I do in this world, even though I don't attend your church. I do know that there's a person in my house that wants to come visit your church when she comes home.
There we go. Come on over.
And my wife this morning said you guys have a 5K coming up or something?
Yeah. We do some different things throughout the year. We're doing a 5K and we try to do that outside of ourselves, but just facilitate it. So last year we did it for families that were looking to do foster care and adoption and just to kind of resource them. This year, there's some families that are connected to the school across the road that have cancer. And so we just want to be able to, you know, give them the, there's not a ton of profits, you know, but just be able to bless them with some of the money. We usually are able to sponsor that and buy down the costs. And so all the registrations and everything go to bless those families. And so, yeah, if you're weird enough to think running is a good idea, come on out here. That's in the middle of May. You can check that out.
I was going to say, all right, so give me links, because if anybody's listening and they're in Hilliard, or if they're not in Hilliard and they stop by Hilliard or they want to come visit, what's the links?
So all those things would be on our website, movementcolumbus.com. You can find them there real easy. There'd be a link to the 5K. There'd be a link to our church, link to our podcast. Just about anything you would ever want to know about us is on there and pretty easy to find. So
you guys got a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Sunday morning message kind of put on there. So I'm not cool enough to have a microphone like you and all that stuff, but we do make the
message. Yeah, one on Sunday. I mean, yeah,
on Sunday. It's on YouTube and it's on all the podcast platforms. So you can check it out there if you want.
So, all right, a couple hard bar questions. When COVID happened, were you guys ready? Because I don't think any of us were ready. As a church, I know it forced a lot of churches to all of a sudden figure out how to stream, figure out how to do a lot of different things. And you were still, I think, at the Y. So
yeah,
how much did that affect you guys?
We were not ready. And like you said, I don't think anyone was. The gyms closed. And so most churches kind of were like, hey, we're closing for a few weeks. We were made to close. And, we were ready in that we were a portable church. And we've always said, we're not just a church that has groups, like we're a church of groups. And so we have a pretty healthy, like our groups are sharing life and doing their thing. Because when you meet at the Y, you know, most people, when they think of a church, they think of a building. Well, for us, for 10 years, it was like, man, we don't have that building. There's people playing volleyball in there during the week and, doing silver sneakers classes for old people. And so our church is the small group, is we call them movement groups. And so we kind of went to those. We had to learn how to record our services and go and buy some stuff. And, the first one was a little rough and it got better and better. And eventually we had like a TV studio built in this little pole barn and we were cranking out some good stuff, but we went to house churches, we called them. It was like you'd go to your small group, you'd watch the service there, have some brunch, talk through some discussion questions. And we kind of figured that out, but we didn't meet for 14 months. Mm. That climate was weird. And, we didn't want to places that we could meet. We'd have to meet at another church and meet at night. And we're like, man, people don't, Sunday nights are weird. And so we just decided to stay in house churches that whole school year. And it wasn't perfect, but I think it was good. It was great for discipleship, great for leadership development. And kind of as we came back, we saw those people that had been invested in multiply their leadership and become group leaders, and we were able to launch new groups. And so when we went back to the Y, it was a slow build. We went back at one service and then back to two, but pretty quickly, we gained everybody back, and it was like, oh yeah, that's why we're building the building. We don't really fit here anymore. And so, we kind of, it was an interesting time. I mean, I'd be lying to say it was smooth. I'm recording messages in my office on a phone, and we're, the staff's meeting on Zoom. It was, everybody lived it. It was crazy, but we saw God use it, at least kind of, sustain us for that season.
Well, I'll brag again, because I think a lot of churches probably could have lost their church, especially one that doesn't have a building.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, the fact that you all were able to sustain that says a lot about the people and what they believe about the church that they attend and your church and what you've built, because I don't know how many people could sustain that. So another tough question, what scares you most in the world right now? That's a loaded question.
Ooh, what scares me most in the world?
As a pastor, what scares you most?
Gosh. Man, I don't want to get too general or be too pastory, but I guess that's my job. That's who I am.
Sure.
I would just say, people thinking that their ideas are better than God's. I'm regularly blown away from political things to relational things to, whatever realm you want to take that in. I met with a friend this week that was telling me some things going on in his life, and it just kind of broke my heart. I was thinking like, man, this isn't what God would want for you. This isn't God's plan. And, that's a general answer, but I think that's kind of that's where humans get caught up. We think that our plan, our idea is better than God's idea. And, not to hate on anybody, but by definition, none of my ideas are better than God's ideas. And so, there's a lot of ways people are, you know, you get in the echo chamber of your own head after a while and you're thinking like, yeah, that's good. That's a good idea. And, you know, I'm just grateful that God's kind of, I can look at his character and look at his word and kind of have that as my compass and say like, all right, there's my North Star. That's what's right. That's what I'm walking toward. And there's moments, you know, I'll have an idea and I'll think like, man, I'm pretty awesome. That's a good idea. And there's moments I'm humbled and reminded that, right. that most of Mark's ideas and most of Mark's tendencies and the things that he wants to do are pretty selfish and not that great. And so, yeah, I don't know. That's a general answer. But yeah, I look around the world and I just think when people are following themselves, things get pretty scary. And, you know, I think sometimes we're aware of that and ready to admit it. And sometimes people, you know, aren't they're because of pain or because they don't want to talk about it, don't want to face it. They just keep running toward their own ideas. And eventually I think that gets pretty empty and lets us down. But, you know, not everybody wants to admit that all the time. So.
No, it's perfect. And I think scripture tells us that we will be lovers of ourselves and a lot of other things. And that's pretty much what we're seeing in the world. All right. Next one, maybe last one. What would you tell your younger self?
What would I tell my younger self? I heard a quote one time, I might butcher this, but it was something to the effect of young people are often, they underestimate what can happen over the long term, you know? And so they're chomping at the bit and they want to get to the next thing and they're struggling to be patient. And I think that's just what I would tell young Mark. You know, I was always a guy that was on the go. I was always driven. I wanted the next thing. I wanted to graduate. I wanted to, you know, have the next relationship and get the bonus and get the promotion and achieve the next thing and impress people. And you know, as I've looked over my life, you know, you really can't be outside of God's will and God's timing. And so, you know, it seems to be that things are going to happen. You know, Movement Church is going to start when Movement Church is supposed to start. Movement Church is going to have two services when it's supposed to have two services. They're going to plant churches when God wants them to plant churches, and they're going to get a building when God wants them to get a building. And so, you know, I would just tell young Mark to be present, be in the moment, be excited about where God has him and what God's doing. If that's a frustrating season of, you know, being trapped at home a lot of nights with young kids, that's okay. If that's studying Greek in college and wondering if you'd ever get to do real ministry, you know, just to be grateful for where you're at and, you know, not to underestimate in the moment what God is doing or what God can do, and just know that you're along for the ride. And it's funny, the other side of that quote, you know, they say that as you get older, sometimes older people put themselves in a box and think like, well, I turned 50, my life is done, or I can't have impact, you know, in the same way right. that. And so they almost start shutting things down or doing the opposite of chomping at the bit and not realizing like, man, you got 20 or 30 years left to run. And so it's interesting, you know, maybe not being as much of a young guy as people used to call me, or, you know, seeing a little salt and pepper in the beards we got here on the podcast. And so, you know, telling myself that where it's like, all right, we still got some decades to run too. Right. And, you know, I want to stay present and not get tired and not give up as I enter those years too. But yeah, that's probably what I'd tell young Mark. I would tell him he's going to go bald too, just to buzz his head and get over it. You know,
that's right. Seriously. Yeah. Thank God for Andre Agassi and Bruce Willis making bald heads cool.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing to do with anything. I have to ask one more question, and I promise I'm gonna let you go because I know you got a schedule today. I think, you know, for dreamers, for those of us that, and I don't want to claim by any means that I hear God's voice. I don't, you know, I hopefully I lean into the Holy Spirit. And even in that season I'm in right now, I have peace in the midst of sometimes chaos. You know, I really try to lean into that. I will be content in any circumstance. That is my phrase for the year, and better be careful what you wish for because it'll be put to the test. But as someone who had a vision or felt the call on his life to do movement, and I think what I want to point out too is that took 10 years to get to a building. And I think a lot of probably young pastors would say, I want to launch a church. And then they're probably looking at buildings, permanent buildings within the first 3 years, because that, again, like we said, it's a marathon. It's not a 5K. It's not. And a lot of pastors probably, I would think, get out of that because it's a marathon and not a 5K. You are someone who has stayed true to your vision and what you felt like God laid on your heart. And I have to believe there's been times when you were questioning it, but there's also been sweet, sweet moments where you said, okay, he's still in control. I'm still going to, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? I don't even know if this is making sense. Oh,
it makes perfect sense.
I have to feel like there was some sweet, sweet moments. Can you give me one where you said it was a God wink moment that said, hey, you're on the right class, you know, you're on the right course.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a door that was closed and you said, okay, that's, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense.
But absolutely. Yeah.
As a pastor, have you found that there's these God wink moments that says you're on the right track, Mark, you're doing exactly what I want you to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, tons of those moments through the years. I think what you said is, you know, there's usually a healthy progression to something growing and developing. You know, I think we've all known a boy, you know, starts growing in middle school and grows like 9 inches in a year. And there's growing pains and that kid's at the doctor and his bones are brittle. You know, there's all these concerns and things. And so I think for me, some of those metaphors of like, they call it church planting for a reason, you know, or, you know, people that are starting businesses, being entrepreneurs, it's the same thing. There's a healthy developmental growth, you know, and usually if something's suddenly, you know, 20 times the size it was, you know, maybe God did something or maybe Google or Facebook blew up. But I think sometimes you've got to look at that outside of just a healthy, normal development. Man, maybe something's unhealthy. You know, if you grow that quick, it's like, hey, can your bones handle, can your infrastructure handle this? And so I think part of our development was just trusting that process of like, you know, if we want to have a healthy culture that's following Jesus, making disciples and also caring about people and, you know, being outward focused, that's going to happen over time, you know. And if we're just stealing a bunch of people from other churches or bringing people in, we're going to have a different DNA and things are going to look different. And so I think we've had to just kind of trust like, all right, what does healthy natural growth look like? You know, what does it look like to be born and then be a toddler and then be a kid and then be a, you know, a teenager and then be a young professional and be a married person and be a parent. And, you know, and so in our church, like we would see those things, you know, there were moments, like I mentioned, you know, we were looking for a place to meet and we couldn't find anywhere. And those are the moments where you're like, oh man, this isn't going to work. And then there's moments where, you know, we were trying to meet at the Y and they didn't know who we were. We were new to town, you know, and it's like, yeah, that won't work. And then they approached us a year later and they said, we want you to meet in our church. And I'm like, whew, I didn't make that happen. Thank you. Yeah. Like it's one of those God wink moments you said, you know, and then even, you know, a couple years in, we're saving money for a church plant and kind of have a different vision and you're seeing, you know, place things happen. I have friends planting churches, other places and things. And then eventually you go to two services and you think like, all right, well, there's God's building something here. And even in getting to send that other church plant, you know, we've kind of had to recalibrate where we have a phrase, we would always say sending is success, you know, not just numbers, not just hype, but sending is success. Like if I read the New Testament almost every day and I see them sending churches and yet my American mind somehow starts to tell myself sending is not success or hey, sending's not the goal. It's like, well, that's what I see in my New Testament. And so when we send church plants, we say that. We say sending is success. And this might not be about us. And it might not, you know, feel like some other things you see on Instagram, but this is, you know, I trust that there are gonna be people in heaven that are gonna tell me, like, hey, I'm here because you helped start Three Creeks Church. I'm someone from Gahanna or Pickerington or, you know, Licking Heights, and you've never met me, but God got a hold of me and changed my life and thank you. And so, yeah, those moments, you know, there's no shortage of frustrations along the road and discouragements and things. But yeah, I think you're right that there's moments where God says like, hey, you're doing what I called you to do. You're being faithful with what I've given you. You're living the calling I've put on your life and keep going, be encouraged. Here's a little encouragement and you know, you're doing it and I'm going to be with you.
Yeah. I mean, I got to think Noah had a few of those moments.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Building a boat for a couple hundred years feels like it might be pretty depressing when no one's ever seen rain before. It seems like a terrible idea. So it
seems like a terrible idea, but it worked out okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, not for several people. It worked out okay for him and his family, and two of each.
Him and his family, they were good. They were good. Yeah.
All right, man. I know we said we were going to keep it around a half hour. Thank you so much, dude. Here's our last brag on you. You have loved our family and me and treated me kindly. I'm not saying that other pastors don't do that. I think pastors have a very warming heart. But man, anytime I've ever seen you treat me like I do attend movement, and I'm one of the family there. And I just want to thank you for that. And I've always celebrated your success. I've always spoken very highly of you, and that would never change outside of when you're not even in the room, when your name comes up, just like when my daughter said it attracted me. I'm very, very proud of you guys, and have a feeling I probably won't do a 5K, but
that's okay. You can walk it if you want to.
Is there a bike option? Because I might
show up with a bike. I bet they won't stop you. You know,
all right, let's go. Yeah. All right. No, anyway, I know that we're going to get there. We're going to visit. I want to see the building. I just want to hear you preach. I think it's even maybe a bigger compliment that I've seen how you live your life and who you are versus I've never heard you preach. I don't need to hear you preach. Your life has preached it. And yeah, that's the best compliment maybe I can give you, is that you live your life and that life preaches for you. And I'm just really happy for you all to be in that building now. And thanks for taking time with us today.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I feel the same way about your family. It's cool to see other people that, you know, are following Jesus. Yeah, that you're not in a church with, but you see them have an impact around the city, and you hear, you know, people saying like they're living on mission and they're blessing people. I feel like you're kind of one of the, maybe the unofficial mayors of Hilliard, you know, just because of your network and the ways you know people, the ways you connect people and bless people and help give them a platform. It's been cool. And yeah, I'd say you're definitely a person of peace of the city. So it's humbling to hear you say that. And it's affirming, because it's what you want as you build a family and build a life and build a church. You would hope that people would say that you're not a jerk and your family's not terrible, you know? So it's humbling. And I appreciate that. I say the same thing about your family. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully I'm not a mayor of Hilliard, because I couldn't even get Sim City to work. So
yeah. Unofficial.
I had to send a tornado to Sim City.
Yeah, the Prince of Hilliard. It's just a title. You get a crown. It's great.
I'm a pauper in Hilliard, but it's all good, man. I appreciate you. I know you got a difficult day ahead of you. I'm going to be praying for you through that. And man, I just, like I said, we'll be popping in there one of these Sundays. You're going to see this. So
awesome.
Thank you for everything, man. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for taking time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, Brittany.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Unscripted Podcast. Make sure to review and share wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps out our mission to encourage everyone to live life unscripted. Until next time, keep living life unscripted.